Don Lebatard.
Texter writes in, does ESPN brass listen to this show? They can't.
Stugatz.
How could this possibly continue in a prime spot for this long? It's just truly awful radio.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line starting Monday, November 9th. You can stream our show on ESPN Plus. Massive promotion. Also with ESPN Plus, you could stream Greeny, the Max Kellerman Show, and Shanae Ngola Jr., and you can also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN Radio, stations all across the country, SiriusXM, and of course, on the ESPN app.
So, a couple of segments removed from saying I don't care for anybody's opinions, I'm going to talk to Bill Lawrence about his opinions on what is happening in the television industry, the streaming industry, the future of content and movies in a second. But first, we need our kazoos and Christine Lisi.
And finally, it would take a snail 4,575 years to circle the Earth. Speaking of things that feel like it takes forever to get through, you're listening to the Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz.
Thank you, Christine. We appreciate it. So he's been on with us the last couple of days, co-creator of Scrubs.
We're good friends now, right?
You are always good friends with anybody you talk to for 9 minutes. And Ted Lasso is on Apple TV Plus. It's a very positive, fun show. A lot of people are talking about it in ways that are very complimentary. Bill Lawrence with us again on ESPN Radio. We were talking earlier about whether or not movie theaters are dying. I want to talk to you about content in general, but the movie theater experience, like, what's this going to be like once things get back to normal as someone who knows what it's like to create content in Hollywood?
Look, you know, I think it's a lot of conjecture, but I think, by the way, I should have asked too, when you guys, are they letting you guys stay in that studio when you guys completely move over to ESPN Plus, or do they make you move?
A bigger studio.
We're not moving over, Bill. We're just available. We're not, corporate says we're not moving, we're not switching, we're just available on ESPN Plus, but yes, we will be in the same studio.
Nothing
not
changes.
Not moving, not switching.
The I think most people feel that the communal, in the industry anyways, there's something specific to the communal experience of seeing a movie with a crowd. You know, I mean, the easiest metaphor is when you see a scary movie, you know, how much different it is if you're watching by yourself at home and pausing it as opposed to in the movie theater experience. So it could just be a bunch of people with their fingers crossed, but they are hopeful that, you know, once we kind of get through this pandemic, that will kind of return in a way as if it were never gone. That said, it does seem like every single feature movie right now that makes money is either an animated movie or a giant superhero movie.
So you were talking the other day, though, about the way that streaming has changed the business, and you were saying, and I don't know whether it was flippant or just simply accurate, and I don't know when this changed, but if you've got a star like Jason Sudeikis, that you could basically get anything made, that there's so much money being poured into content that as long as you have a star and just say, hey, this guy's got a movie idea or a television idea, somebody's going to end up making it because so many people are dying for content. When did that happen?
I'll flip that dynamic a little bit. It's actually more of a burden on the producers. Is that I think that unless it's a certain, you know, level star, top 10 female or male actor, actresses type of things, it's a burden for the producers. And that now, even if you have a great idea and an idea that you really are committed to working, they'll say, we'll definitely do this if you have one of the actors or actresses from our list of 20 actors or actresses that we think we can market and build a show around, attached a star in it. So you've essentially, when you used to just say that TV created stars, now you're in this weird burden with these streaming sites who want to have flashy, promotable things to draw people to their one show out of 500 on Netflix or whatever. TV doesn't create stars the same way anymore in streaming. I think more often you have to build around a big piece of talent. So, like, even with Jason, we got Node almost everywhere with Ted Lasso before we suckered Apple into giving us some dough.
Bill Lawrence with us here on ESPN Radio. The first season of Ted Lasso is available now on Apple TV+. The show has been renewed for seasons 2 and 3. Bill, more difficult coming up with a premise or writing a show once you have that premise established?
Anybody that tells you that they enjoy writing is a sociopath. That's a fake claim. People enjoy having written things. Like, you can hand something over to someone and go, look, this is finished. But when you're the people that tell me, man, I love sitting around and just being in front of my computer and writing, you know, like term papers in high school and college, I think that they're off and something's wrong. So communal writing, like comedy writing, is a blast because it's a lot like what you all do. You sit around with a group of people that you should enjoy anyways and kind of come up with jokes and riffs. But, man, writing is just arduous.
What is the writer's room that Bill Lawrence says, damn, those people, they really create stuff every time. Like, they are just a fountain of creativity, and I love how they handle their craft. Like, do you have a television show in mind when you just think of extraordinary writing? Because writing funny is the hardest thing.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's an ego thing involved, and so for a lot of us, when you see something that you don't think you can necessarily do, you're consumed by a combination of self-hatred and jealousy. And for me, the show Veep, you know, they were almost inventing new ways to curse and to be just horrible to each other. And man, as a comedy writer, I watch it on a day-to-day basis with awe, you know. and by the way, it was often referenced in the Ted Lasso room because it was the exact opposite of what we were trying to do. Because I don't, you know, I think every character on that show was reprehensible in his or her own way.
When you say you got a lot of no's on Ted Lasso, how many no's, and did any one of them hurt more than the others?
You know, I've reached the point in my career that I'm a little bit Teflon, you know, and I use the nose as kind of bulletin board material. And if you compare it to when we were all mediocre high school athletes.
Really? Bulletin board? Really? So you leave the room, really, you guys, and then you think of Veep ways to insult those people for rejecting you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, but the, you know, I'm sure how the way Hollywood works, though, is that when you want to do your told you so moment or your how's that feel moment, it's satisfying for about, I don't know, 1 or 2 minutes, and then you pay for it for the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 years of your career. So you just
seems worth it, though.
I was just going to ask you, who do you want to tell I told you so on Ted Lasso?
Totally,
like, feel free if you want to burn that bridge right here.
It's like a team that passed on you the draft.
I would say out loud that I've never had a show on Netflix, and I certainly sat there and pitched this show to Netflix with Jason. So, I say that as a Netflix fan, as somebody that watches a ton of shows over there.
That was the most tepid
and
I told you so.
For some reason, I decided to end my career at Netflix today.
It was pretty tepid. Well,
how do you
feel about what Netflix is doing? Because you know, not that we have a whole lot of access to showrunners. But Mike Schur is a little bit worried about just how dominant Netflix is and how formulaic they are about surgically ending things once they have the data they want on what demographic they have captured.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be really interesting to watch the next couple of years of TV simply because it's evolving so fast. I mean, we're a generation, I'm sure you guys all remember when you had 4 channels, you know, and the traditional thing out here is that very soon the landscape will kind of be dominated by Disney Plus, Netflix, and HBO Max, because those three streaming sites have tremendous libraries. You know, Disney is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you want to go see any of those Disney movies with your kids or anything, you know, that stuff that you do to avoid parenting, you're going to have to go to Disney's. And Netflix has a monster library, and HBO Max has all the Big Bang Theory, Friends, Harry Potter movies. And so it's going to be interesting is to see who survives beyond those three. You know, can it be somebody like Apple that has $1 billion or Amazon who is probably just in the TV business so the executives can go to awards parties? I don't know. You know what I mean? But I think once there's a level playing field with Netflix, you know, with those other two streaming sites, that hopefully will change a bit. But yes, right now it feels like you're putting a show on there for 3 years, then you're done.
All right. Excellent work. Also, burning that bridge to Amazon. We'll talk to you tomorrow about the plane crash. Okay.
We'll get to it.
We'll call you tomorrow about the plane crash. I do want to get to it.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day, man.
Wait a minute. You got to play. You got Mike. You got to find for Bill Lawrence. You just got to play for him because I think he was going for Michael Doliak's response. Yeah. The worst response we've ever gotten. And you're in elite company here because we've only invited a couple of people back every day for many days. It's Michael Doliak. It's Doc Antle from the Tiger.
We regret the Doc Antle a little bit now.
We do.
In retrospect, we got caught up in it.
Yes, we do regret that one in retrospect. And in real time, and we were getting yelled at, but it was a pandemic, so we were all out of our minds. But here is Michael Doliak with what we believe to be the greatest comedic reaction to us asking him back another time. Michael, thank you. We'll do it again with you tomorrow.
Yes.
To tomorrow?
Don Libertard.
He can't rock the extra medium baby gap shirt like I can. Mm-mm. No. He's not a big boy like I am.
Stugatz.
If you are here from Iowa, leave.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. We'll get to the conversational part in a second. It's time for Straight Talk. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
New stupidity out, right? New stupidity out? What are you doing with the newest stupidity?
I assure you, I'm the only one at the network that had Stone Gossard, one of the co-creators of Pearl Jam, great guitarist, one of my favorite musicians of all time. I'm probably the only one who had him on their podcast this week. And so I sat down with Stone Gossard for about 45 minutes, a great riveting conversation, fun conversation that we put out this morning.
I got to get around to this because we've promoted this one more than we did with your Tom Brady interview.
Yeah. It's Stone Gossard, man. He's a legend, Stone Gossard. I mean, there are very few musical legends amongst us, and he is one of them, and he's on my podcast.
Tony, put it on the poll. Do you know who Stone Gossard is? Just put it on the poll. At Lebatard Show. I wanted to get into a story that's on ESPN.com. And also, if you're supporting the stuff that we do around here, please, we ask you to rate, subscribe, and review. And just make sure you have access to the Lebatard and Friends menu and also Big Suey and the Local Hour. The way that we keep much of the stuff free around here is because you guys support it and then the sponsors support us. It's what has made us a digital monster. You guys have done that. And so we ask you to continue to do that because it keeps the lights on in here and keeps everything up and running. But I saw a story here, Stugatz, on ESPN.com. And if you know my history in this business, it's been weird over the last, 10 years to sort of become, I remember when this happened to me, I've become a political figure that gets sort of used as a tool, and I didn't even see how it was happening, right? Going way back to like Steve Bannon and Breitbart, they would take things that I said because I'm not a political person. I was a sports person and am a sports person who likes to talk about race, and you've seen right now, you're in the middle of it, right? You're in the middle of it. Amazingly, and with a form of poetic justice, there's the chance that Atlanta and Detroit, two very black cities, end up toppling this presidency. But you guys have seen over the years, if you've been following the show, I have been someone, because I am seen as defending athletes, because I fancy myself an empathetic figure, I fancy myself someone who doesn't rain down judgment on others. I have been viewed as a player apologist. Very often I'm supporting the black athlete in explaining behavior. I'm always trying to explain behavior instead of excusing it. Anyways, over the years, what's ended up happening is that I am viewed as bleeding heart, left-leaning, or far left. And so I get thrown into this political conversation when I've told you many different times I'm not interested in it. The only reason that I've been interested over the last 4 years, the only reason is because of how obvious the racial division is. And so The thing that I wanted to go down the path with you on, because it is something that I find just sort of fascinating, how it happens all the time. ESPN.com, and it's a tricky one for me, is doing a long story about Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator with Alabama. And I've been somebody who always supports people making money. I'm not in your pockets taking money away from people. And I'm also someone who, when it comes to addiction, when it comes to drug use or alcohol use that can't be controlled, I view that as sickness. I'm not someone who is condemning the alcoholic or the drug addict who just can't control themselves anymore and is making bad decisions. But when I see that Steve Sarkisian has been fully rehabilitated in image in the way that Colorado offered him a job that he could turn down, and that he's making $2.5 million a year as a coordinator in a sport where they keep telling me they can't pay the labor.
Right.
When I see a guy who was drinking on the job as the USC coach, where people had reports of alcohol on his breath when he's coaching, I marvel at the way that he gets rehabbed, and I wonder, and I've posed this question to the audience, does a black guy get to do that? If a black guy shows up at his head coaching job with alcohol on his breath, does he get to stand next to Nick Saban, and then does he get rehabbed? Like, are there examples? And I ask you question. I ask you that question not actually knowing the answer. John Lucas famously was helping people who had addiction because he came from addiction, and he got coaching jobs. But is there allowed to be the black Steve Sarkisian? A guy drinking on the job.
Right.
Like, it's not just an alcohol problem, but it's an alcohol problem that he brought to kids, according to reports.
I'm not certain. I mean, we'll have to see if there are actual examples of that. I'd like to think in some places, at some universities, some jobs, yes, that would be available. I also think it's up to the person, your boss, your employer, as to whether or not they want to give that opportunity.
But they tend to be white, Stugatz. They tend to be white. And
well,
so when the bosses tend to be white, the forgiveness tends to be extended to other white people.
Is it white or is it value? Is he really good at his job? Therefore, he's getting second chances, much like Antonio Brown, much like Dwight Gooden, much like countless athletes who have had second and third chances.
No, but the difference between athletes and leadership is different.
I'm just talking about, is Sarkisian so good at his job that he actually has value?
Making World Series is good. Ron Washington. Now, I believe he's a bench coach, but I've read articles about how he's desperate for a second chance, and he had a cocaine issue in his past.
I was just surprised to read that Sarkisian had already turned down a head coaching job, that Colorado was already available to him, because in terms of egregious offenses, I couldn't think, like, day drinking as a college coach when you're an educator around kids, like, that seemed to me, it's even when I've heard the stories about alcoholism, I hadn't heard a whole lot of stories about coaches bringing it that obviously to work on, like, game day and stuff. So it was a conflicting one for me, because it runs against the injustices as I see them in college football, and the desire to extend compassion to anybody who can't control, you know, whose life is descending into darkness because they can't control their behavior, because they've got certain brain chemistry that doesn't allow them to conquer addiction.
Sark.
Don Lebatard.
Pistachios are highly flammable when stored in large quantities and can spontaneous combust.
Stugatz.
Spontaneously.
Nope. Spontaneously.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today on ESPN Daily, with starter Trevor Lawrence sidelined by COVID. Clemson freshman quarterback gets their start. Hear more on this rising star. That's ESPN Daily. Listen and subscribe.
Wait a minute.
What?
Freshman quarterback gets their start?
That's what it says here.
I mean, there's probably a name there.
There's no name.
The backup quarterback for Clemson.
I know it's a tongue twister. I am telling you, that name was not included in the copy. It was not. Roy did not write this copy. Otherwise, he would have included it.
So someone else wrote copy that doesn't have the name of the human being who is backing up Trevor Lawrence?
It says Clemson's freshman backup quarterback gets the start. Hear more on this rising star, this nameless rising star.
He's got a name. It's just I was trying to practice pronouncing it on television the other day. It's a hard name.
That's ESPN Daily. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. I don't know his name.
We're going to update the polls here in a little while. At Lebatard Show is where you vote. But first, we've got to get back to Christine Lisi mocking us in a cruel fashion.
This one's not bad. And finally, Nicolas Cage plans to be buried in a pyramid once he dies. How about that?
How about that?
Not surprising. Yeah. Mike Tomlin is not surprised by that, and neither are the rest of us. Thank you, Christine. Again, a reminder, we've got some bonus show for you all around the terrestrial 2 hours. We've got a local hour. We've got a Big Suey that's a little bit different every day. Bomani Jones has been joining us on that, as well as some other Lebatard and Friends characters. And we've got a post-game show as well. Stugatz, it has been reported that Antonio Brown is again living with Tom Brady at the home of Derek Jeter. And it has been also reported that the Buccaneers are stunned by how good a shape Antonio Brown is in. He went through as public a meltdown as you will ever see from an athlete. He appears to be addicted to social media. There seems to be, and this doesn't usually get diagnosed publicly well when a guy is behaving in a way that's totally erratic, but there seems to have been some mental health stuff that he was dealing with, just observing it from weird behavior that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent in professional sports. And now he comes back, and no one can dispute what a great receiver he is. What do you expect from him?
I expect him to be great, and I'll tell you why in a second. First off, when he left the game, he was probably the best wide receiver in football. So a couple of years removed here. Here's why I think he'll be great. That team is good. They have good wide receivers, so the focus won't just be on Antonio Brown. They have Mike Evans. They have Chris Godwin if he's healthy. They have a bunch of tight ends.
Brady
they have good running backs.
Brady doesn't use Evans that much. He seems to throw more to Miller than he does to Evans.
You're right. He throws to Evans in the end zone, which is probably where you should throw in the ball, that guy. But here's the reason, Dan. You have the game's greatest quarterback to ever play the game, who has stood by Antonio Brown's side for over a year now, wanted him in New England, let him live in his house, as you pointed out, in New England, living with him now. And then when Antonio Brown was cut, it seemed like Brady was upset that the Patriots were unwilling.
He was upset.
To at least hear him out and hear Antonio Brown out.
Brady did not want them to get rid of Antonio Brown in New England. Brady clearly starved for skill position guys. It's the reason he's no longer in New England.
And so now you have a guy who's a bit down on his luck. It didn't seem like a bunch of teams wanted him, although there were reports that Seattle was interested. So Russell Wilson was one of the guys that was interested. But I think Tom Brady and the loyalty that he has shown Antonio Brown through some really horrible times for Antonio Brown, I think Antonio is motivated to play well for that guy who has stood by his side for over a year now.
I mean, down on his luck is one way to describe it, probably with kid gloves, but they sought counsel with Tony Robbins, which is sort of problematic in its own right, being that he had multiple allegations of sexual abuse.
Yes, but Tony Robbins as life coach and inspiration. Antonio Brown is saying that he is a better person now, having crawled through all of that.
I'm just saying, I feel like he's probably, Mike, going to be motivated to play well, if for nothing else, not for himself, not for the team, for the guy who gave him, who believed in him, stood by his side when no one else was, and practically gave him a second chance. Bruce Arians did not want this. Tom Brady did. And he doesn't want to disappoint Tom Brady.
That's charming that you would assign that to Tom Brady.
Leadership.
I assume, well, that's caring about the fountain of youth is what that is. Okay. Like it is leadership, but Tom Brady's not, he's not Brother Teresa on this one. He's doing that for himself. He's not necessarily doing that for Antonio Brown.
You're right. Well, I think hold on. Tampa Bay's got a very good team. I don't know if they even need Antonio Brown yet. Tom Brady's still going to bat for Antonio Brown.
The talent of Antonio Brown.
It's overwhelming.
Anybody would want to throw to it. And Mike Evans is a deep threat in that offense. Hasn't been used a whole lot because for a while now, Tom Brady has been Edelman, tight ends, running backs in a really efficient, great way. But it's been an exceptional way to age. And if you add a talent like Antonio Brown, it's going to help you.
But that's my point. Anyone can throw to Antonio Brown. He's going to help anyone. And you would think anyone would want Antonio Brown once he was cleared. The team that wanted him, the person that wanted him, was the greatest quarterback who's ever lived.
Well, you keep saying that, and by the way, I just want to ask you, I understand you're used to saying that, but isn't Mahomes someone that we are now describing as the best quarterback we've ever seen?
I mean, you might. I'm not. Okay. Five rings from now, I will.
All right, so put it on the poll, please, Anthony. Who's a better quarterback? Tom Brady. Who, at their peak of their powers... At the peak of their powers,
right.
Is a better quarterback, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes? I'm just curious how the audience is going to answer that.
It'll be fascinating to watch just from a football perspective. That game Sunday night is just going to be Breeze and Brady trading the all-time record. Everyone loves a good comeback story, except for maybe this one.
I can't believe 2020. We're still doing Breeze and Brady.
Well, I want to analyze after making fun of it. I just want to analyze all of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's begin with Tom Brady.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
How about Matt Ryan?
Big, strong pocket awareness.
How about Aaron Rodgers?
Big, strong pocket awareness.
How about Nick Foles?
Big, strong pocket awareness.
How about Kirk Cousins?
Not so aware.
How about Carson Wentz?
Ooh, these are getting tougher.
I mean, you gave Foles that?
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Joe Burrow.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Sam Darnold.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Deshaun Watson.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Ryan Tannehill.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
David Carr.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Herbert.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Baker Mayfield.
You always get caught up with the David Carr and Derek Carr, right?
I call him David Carr?
Yeah. It's a tough one. I just go Carr.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Was that for Baker or Carr?
You know I'm hitting that with Baker.
Big, strong pocket awareness.
Even though none of them apply.
You can't give them to Baker and not Carson Wentz.
The pocket awareness. Dude has like 60 fumbles.
Big, strong?
Wentz is a lot stronger than Baker.
Right, he is.
Nothing in life is free. Time for some ads.
I mean, you're crossing the line with me, my friend.
Chris Cody just announced via chat that he only knows Tony Robbins from Shallow Hal.
That's right.
Come on, get out of here.
I'd say a lot of people like that.
That's amazing. God, are we old.
I was introduced
to
him.
Wait a minute. That's just Chris being dumb. That's not us being old.
I had no idea who he was until Shallow Hal. I was just never into the sort of thing Tony Robbins sells. And then
Now you are. Now Ted Lasso is Tony Robbins.
Yeah, Ted Lasso
and now,
is.
And now you've grown
guide.
Up so much, you're backing away from Tony Robbins just because of his very questionable decision making. That has been reported ad nauseum that we are not allowed.
So these Tom Brady reclamation projects.
Don Levitard. Stugatz, as far as I can tell, was given ears for no good reason.
Stugatz.
Unraveling.
Uh-huh. That's what he does. He unravels. Well, he leads the league. If unraveling was a stat, Dan, no, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented, by Progressive Insurance. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. Do I owe money there?
No, you toughed it out.
Good.
At Levitard Show on Twitter, but you do owe money yesterday, $5.
What?
You did that yesterday. You just went straight into the microphone, and you never paid, and as always, you're just hoping that we forget. At Levitard Show on Twitter is where and how you vote for the polls. We've got a few today. Let's get to them.
The Twitter poll at Levitard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
At Levitard Show on Twitter, do you remember Wooly Willie, the bald face that you would add garbage debris as a magnetic mustache and hair.
Yes.
The tongue twister.
Well explained, though.
It is, but you need to explain, because asking people, do you remember or do you know Wooly Willy, isn't going to help. But now, all of a sudden, if you tell them, it's sort of like an Etch-A-Sketch, it's a bald face, it's a useless sort of toy, it should be at the dollar store, but evidently it's about $8, and you just magnetically drag some fuzz across your screen to make a mustache.
I thought we established that.
Yeah, I was just honoring Billy there. That was just an homage to inefficient Billy.
I got it. 56% of the audience said yes. Is Brian Adams still getting it done?
Come on, this is a big one. Not going to come back. Yes, I mean, Brian Adams is not still getting it done. He is 61 years old.
Mike said yes when I asked him. The audience disagrees. 55% of the audience says no. Divided audience, though, Mike.
A divided country, Mike. It is the most divided thing we are divided about.
Is Mike Ryan talking too much today?
That one's not going to be divided.
Overwhelming. 82% of the audience said yes.
Well, look at that. Mike, congratulations. That's a bit of a victory for you.
82%, though.
Yep. Are we still making power ballads? That's a great question, Mike. I love a good power ballad. 80% of the audience said no.
Lost art.
When did that stop?
I don't know.
When Warren did.
Yeah. Was it that or Robin Hood? I mean,
oh man, do you know? Do you remember?
It's such a great ballad. Dude, thank you.
It was like the three kings coming together.
Correct.
You get Sting. You get Rod Stewart. Wait a second.
Loggins, wasn't it?
Oh wait, no. Wait, I'm doing.
I'm doing Robin Hood.
Musketeers. Big fine.
Whoa, I'm doing Costner, Robin Hood.
Okay, but that's a movie. I'm doing like.
I don't
songs.
Know what Stugatz
oh,
is
yeah,
doing.
I don't know what he's doing.
What do you think a power ballad is?
It's what we played from Brian Adams earlier, a power ballad, like a love song.
Okay,
a power
but what song
love
are you thinking of?
I can't remember. Men in Tights. I cannot remember.
Men in Tights.
Robin Hood, Kevin Costner, the love song from that movie.
Hang on.
Kevin Costner?
It's a power ballad.
But I confused it with the Three Musketeers power ballad of Rod Stewart, Sting, and Brian Adams. All for One and All for Love. They put together three musketeers of power balladeers, and they came out with an absolute banger. Oh,
I need to stop the show right now.
Everything I Do.
Oh, yes. Wait. Was that from that? Everything
what are you doing? I want to understand what you're doing in terms of Kevin Costner. Why your power ballad is, I'm thinking of heavy metal bands
You're thinking incorrectly.
I'm thinking incorrectly.
I don't know what you're thinking. You just confuse it with a Mel Brooks film.
Yeah, I am telling you. Everything I do it for you, by the way.
That is Brian Adams.
That is considered one of the great power ballad songs of all time.
I know, but what are you doing with Kevin Costner?
What do you mean, what am I doing? Costner was in the movie. He starred in that Robin Hood.
So basically, the point that he's trying to make is that Brian Adams is the Michael Jordan of movie soundtrack power ballads, because he had one on Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He had one on Three Musketeers and also Don Juan DeMarco.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing.
Okay.
Thank you.
It just was unclear to me. I don't think I was the only one it was unclear to.
At the peak of their powers, who's the better quarterback? Brady, Mahomes. Early voting here. Mahomes, 68.5%. Don't do it. I care about you. All 68.5% of you. Final poll question here today, Dan. Do you know who Stone Gossard is?
The legend, you said. The legend, Stone
Gossard.
Very
few of them left.
This is actually an important one. You did say there are very few musical legends left like Stone Gossard.
Well, unfortunately, only 25% of the audience agree with me.
And there are very few power ballad greats like Kevin Costner anymore.
You just heard the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
All right, bye.